All right, very good. We're going to go ahead at this time and go right into our study. We're doing a discipleship course called Continue. And do we happen to have handouts tonight? I was wondering. Oh, good. Brother Chase, thank you. Come on down here, Brother Chase, to the front. That way they can see you. If you need a handout, because we have books for a lot of our folks, but if you'd like to have a handout to keep up what we're doing tonight, just lift up your hand and they'll make sure you get one. And we trust you have a pen. If you don't have one, let Chase know, and I'm sure he'll find one somewhere. Or you can steal it from a friend, however that works. All right, very good. We're on page 104, and we're talking about developing a prayer life, developing a prayer life. As this is a discipleship study, you know that one of the greatest things a young Christian will ever learn that will help him more than anything else is developing a prayer life. I have to tell you, that was when my life really changed. After I got saved, and that, of course, by the grace of God, the Lord just burdened my heart as a 15-year-old to start praying. No one told me to or challenged me or that I remember, but I just remember being pricked in my heart or burdened to pray as a teenager. And God began to do a great work in my heart and life. And it was in prayer. And we need to develop a prayer life. And I believe you're just not growing and becoming what God would have you to become unless you've got an active, functional, organized prayer life. And may the Lord help us. At page 104, would you look at that? There is an acronym here. It's an acrostic, I should say, of the word ACTS, A-C-T-S, and that acrostic, the A stands for adoration. And what this is, it's a great plan. If you need a plan for prayer, this can be a great help to you. If you think of the word ACTS, first of all, think of the word A for adoration. Praise God for who He is. Tell Him how thankful you are for His goodness and His holiness and go through His greatness. And I'll tell you, many times we want to rush into prayer. I know I do. I rush into prayer thinking about all the stuff that's burdening my heart that I've just got to say, oh, Lord, please help me. But you need to stop and reflect on Him. Because this great truth, and this is going to be the essence of what we're going to preach tonight for about a few minutes, and that is your prayer time is your fellowship with God. Please don't go through life and know, I don't think that's the right word. Don't go through life and miss the wonderful joy of fellowshipping with God. Now, God, many things. That's why He has many names. He's so many things. But don't forget, you're supposed to enjoy the Lord. And even though He's a great and terrible and powerful and holy creator that He is, Almighty God, He is one, He desires fellowship with you. Now think about fellowship. What does that word mean? Do you fellowship with the ones you love, your family? Do you enjoy that time together? Your spouse, the intimacy that you have? The joy, she knows what you're thinking. You don't even have to say the word, she already knows. That closeness. You know God wants that with you? God can just simply look at you and you know exactly what He wants. I've done that with people I'm close to. I can just look at them and I know what they're thinking. I know what they want. My wife just has to raise that one eyebrow and I know what I've got to do. Amen. But honestly, you could just look at someone's eyes and they could communicate so much with their eyes. You know God does that. He said, how can I see the eyes of God? Oh, you can see Him through the Spirit. God will lead you to know exactly His expression on His face. I mean, I remember sitting in church and cutting up. Remember that look mom and dad would give you if you were cutting up in church? You know, how come is it that things are so much funnier when you have to be quiet in church? One of your siblings does something and you just want to blow up. You know, you got that thing inside. The tickle bug hits you and you're about ready to explode. And of course, it's all extinguished as soon as you get that look from your parents, that look that says you're going to die tonight when you go home. My daddy used to call it, it's going to be Katie bar the door. Never knew what that meant. I just knew how painful it was. But that look, eyes and expression, countenance can tell you so much. What is the countenance of God upon you tonight? He knows your secrets. Knows your failures. He knows your conniving, devious. He knows your funny ways. He knows what makes you happy. God knows what makes you happy. You wonder why he sometimes brings certain little blessings in your life. He does it for you. He knows what you want. Likes surprising you. You say, that sounds like a husband and wife or sweethearts. That sounds like a mom and dad's affection for the children. Exactly. God wants to have this kind of fellowship with you. Don't you miss out on that. I'm not talking super spiritual. I'm talking about normalcy. I'm talking about real Christianity. You enjoy the fellowship with God. And does he convict us when we do wrong? Sure. I'm glad he does. If God had not taken me to the woodshed on several occasions, I surely would not be standing up here tonight. I've had to get many whoopings. I don't know the difference between a whipping and a whooping, but mine were whoopings. And I've had plenty of them from God. I wouldn't be worth shooting. I surely wouldn't be pastoring if God had not done that in my life. Well, that's his love. An abusive parent is one of great negligence. God is not negligent to his children. He loves you. He wants to have that kind of relationship with you. A stands for adoration. C stands for confession. What do you have to confess to God tonight? Well, ask God to bring to mind any sin that you've not confessed to him. Evangelist Scott Pauley and I are dear friends. We work together. I enjoyed working with him. I look forward to the day we can have him come preach for you. I'm trying to get him scheduled, but he's all over the country for many years to come. So we're trying to get him in here. He's a great friend. I like one time he told me this. He said, David, we need to pray that God will help us to be, and he said it this way, to be thoroughly right with God. Thoroughly right. He has the ideal of, let's just clean house. And whereas we're used to a certain level of Christianity, let's just go ahead and let him have all the rooms and let's just get thoroughly right with God. I like that. Well, that's what you do when you confess. You're saying, God, here's where I fail thee. But, oh God, would you search my heart? When's the last time you prayed that prayer of David in Psalm, 139? Search me, oh God. Know my heart. Try me and know my ways. And see if there be any wicked way in me and reveal it, God, to me. Well, I tell you, that's somebody that really wants to be close to God when they're saying, Lord, whatever is in my heart that is hurting you, would you show me what it is so that I can cough it up in confession and make this thing right with God? Search me, O God. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. You know that hymn? Is that in our hymn book, Nothing Between? Brother TJ, would you look it up? Nothing between my soul and the Savior. We're going to close with that song tonight if it's in the hymn book. If it's not, we'll just try to hum it. And if you know the words, I may bring you up here. It is. We have a good hymn book. That's great. Thanksgiving is the T of the word acts from the acrostic T. Thank the Lord for what he's done. S is supplication. That word supplication, another word for prayer, but it's the ideal of bringing your request before the Lord. And so have this in your life. Acts is a good plan to follow. So we come down to 104. We see the bottom of that page. It says fellowship with God. That is what prayer is all about. And write this in, please, because communication is a part of a relationship. If you're married tonight or you have a fiancé or a girlfriend or someone special to you, they are there because you learn somewhere to communicate. I mean, attraction's attraction, but that's not what relationships are built upon. They're built upon communication. I knew Renee, I was going to marry her. I mean, we started dating, and it wasn't long after that. I knew this is going to be the one right here. And I found that out not because I had an angel visit me in the night and say, "Marry Renee." No, it wasn't any kind of cloud formation that said Renee on the skies, nothing like that. I found that, wow, in communication, our hearts were just bonding. You know, you're attracted from a distance, but the closeness comes from communication. And that's what happens to marriages that start having problems. What is it? They're not communicating anymore. That's why when you have couples retreats, that's usually one thing you're going to deal with. How can we better communicate? Had a real joy. My wife and I had a really wonderful evening. We watched the Tennessee basketball game together. And two things wonderfully went well in that date night on the couch. Tennessee was winning, number one. Number two, she was holding my hand. So, great, wonderful time spent together as husband and wife. And we just had the biggest time watching Tennessee play basketball, winning the ball game, and then holding my hand. If Tennessee starts losing, my wife goes into therapy stage and begins to help me with overcoming. But I didn't have to have that problem. We had a wonderful time. And we chuckled about it. You know, we hold each other's hand, and we thought, well, what do you know? And all that's good, but that's time spent together. And communication is so important. I hope you can understand that's what God wants with you. Communicate with Him. Talk to Him. That's just so much stuff God helps me with when I just take the time to talk to Him. It really helps me. So much clears up in my mind as well. Page 105, let's talk about the hindrances to prayer. I'll go through these quick and we'll go home. The hindrances to prayer. Number one, would you write that word in? Hindrances. Hindrances. Beware of hindrances to prayer. The Bible tells us specific ways our prayers become hindered. Here they are. Number one, unconfessed sin. I've spent some time on that already. But Psalm 66, 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will overlook it. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God understands nobody's perfect. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God's so full of grace, He just smiles anyway. Makes great preaching, makes you really think, you know, God's really nice. And there's a lot of preachers that want to make sin a non-issue. They really do. They want everybody in the crowd to be happy so they'll come back. And I surely don't want to run anybody off. That's not my intent, of course. But we're not careful. You'll take the gospel and God and just, oh, He loves us. He loves us anyway. That just becomes the theme of their life. He loves us anyway. Well, sure He does. Not even in question. He sure He loves you. But you cannot have a prayer life with unconfessed sin in your life, and it's not going to be hunky-dory. That love is going to be a parental love that's going to take you to the woodshed, and it's going to be rough. There's nothing more miserable than a Christian who's out of fellowship with God, who's having to face the chastening hand of God. You say, preacher, you act like you know what you're talking about. I do. It hurts. Sometimes plumb scary. My dad loves me, and I love him, but going up through life, there were times I feared him greatly. I could tell by the way he was walking across the floor, it's time to start fearing. It's just, you know, unconfessed sin hinders our prayer. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord, what? Will not hear me. He's just going to cut that faucet off, you know, that flow. It's going to be hindrance, real hindrance. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Now here's the bottom line on this matter. Life has got too many burdens and setbacks and problems for you to try to face it alone. And if you're discouraged tonight, that's the reason you faced it alone. What you need is to lean on the everlasting arms. You need to know that God is there. He loves you. He's going to support you. But here's the problem. Life is so filled with that kind of stuff. We need Him. And the last thing we need to have is unconfessed sin to keep us from knowing His support and love and strength and grace in our lives. Now, does He love you? Sure He does. He'll always love you. Not a sin you can commit to keep God from loving you. But if you want your prayers to be heard, if you want strength and help, then you have to confess sin. It cannot remain, and you will need Him. Number two, it goes along with unconfessed sin. Number two, unforgiveness. Would you write that one in there on page 105 in the middle? Unforgiveness hinders our prayer. Mark 11, verse 25 says, when ye, rather, stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. So you have to ask the Lord when you're praying, and if you've got someone who has aught against you, you have to make that right for God to hear you. You have to make that right if you really want a prayer life, if you really want God to help you. Unforgiveness, I'm afraid, is killing our churches. Unforgiveness. If we're not careful, we get the idea that when we have been hurt, that we automatically have a right to be angry, and a right of sense of justice, and a right to not have to be right with the one who hurt me. I'm sorry. That is not Christ-like. Jesus loved the very Roman soldiers that threw the whip across His back. See, how do you know that? Because He loved me, even when He gave Himself for me. Because it was me standing with a whip. I'm the one He had to die for. Christ gave His all for those who abused Him, lied against Him, betrayed Him, and mocked Him, and sped upon Him, and who physically nailed Him to the cross. He loved them, and He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You may say, well, preacher, I've got a good reason not to forgive this person. And I would tell you, I'm sorry, it won't hold up before God. You have to forgive. It doesn't mean you agree with what they've done. It doesn't mean you enable them for what they are doing. But it does mean you cannot harbor bitterness and hold that against them. As a Christian, you have the duty, by God's grace, to forgive others. You have to. Some may say it's easier than for others. I think everybody has certain challenges that are harder for them than others. I understand that. In fact, God says if you even have unforgiveness, you can't even worship. So look at Matthew chapter 5, and then we'll wrap it up quickly. Matthew chapter 5, you know this passage of Scripture. I want you to see it again. Matthew 5, He says there in verse 23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother have aught against thee, leave there thy gift. In other words, stop what you're doing. Maybe we need to come to church, and if nothing else, by the help of the Holy Ghost, we just hear God say, stop! Stop it. He says, stop what? Stop this! Oh, I'm singing, I'm faithful to church, and I got my Bible in my lap, everything's good, I'm so holy. God's like, stop! This is madness. You worshiping, trying to go through the motions when you have in your heart aught against a brother. Stop it. Just stop this silly game. That's what God is saying. And he says it so adamantly. He says, you leave it. You leave it there. Then it says, drop it. Just leave it. Don't go any further. Don't argue about it. You just drop what you're doing. And you, with initiative, you with purpose, you with conviction of God's correction. He says, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled. I want to tell you, out of all the things that God expects you to have, you better make sure it's a priority that I'm right with God. I had a man one time get very angry with me. He didn't like something I did. He let me know it. Much older than me. And he wanted to put me in my place, which wasn't his place, but he wanted to. And when he began to put me in my place, I, you know, bristled and stood my ground, and I began to try to put him in his place. Kind of natural human reaction. You know. And so there was none of this, but I mean, I'm just words. And I remember standing my ground and saying, you can't talk to me that way. And boom, we're going back and forth, you know. And this is while in the ministry, by the way. It's not my young years of rebellion. I didn't do that. I was in the ministry when this happened. And we're both in full-time Christian service. And he's talking to me that way. And so I stood my ground. And no, sir. I went my way and he went his, stomping off in both directions. Guess what happened? Right here. God began to deal with me. I began to think, you know, I don't want that between us. I need to try to see what he was thinking. I need to make this right. The next morning, I saw him at church. I went up to him and I told him I was sorry. And I said, I love you, brother. I don't know if I hugged his neck. I'm not sure if he would even let me. But I knew in my heart, I wanted it right. And I didn't want to walk from that situation and run him down to my friends. I want to tell you one thing. You better stay with that old coot. I didn't say anything like that. Not that I remember. My wife did all that for me. No, I'm just kidding. She did not do that. I can say those things, but you won't dare believe it. I know that. But honestly, she did not, and I did. We chose to leave it with the Lord. And you know what? Over the years, it's been a good relationship. I could go to him right now and call him my brother in Christ. And I could sit down with him and have good fellowship. And not one time would that incident ever come up in our conversation. Why? Because we made it right. Now, I want to tell you something. If I didn't make it right, I would have a hard time getting up here with this pulpit and especially preach this and not have made that right years ago. I'd be sitting here fighting guilt. And I'm going to tell you, you can free yourself from all that old guilt. You can just set yourself free and know in your heart you're right with your brother and sister. I want to tell you something. As a child of God, you have an obligation and you have been given not only the command, but I think the nature of a child of God. I want to be right with my friends. I want to be right with those. Even when we don't agree, I want to be right with them. I think that's in the heart of a child of God. Unforgiveness must be in our praying and must be a practice. Number three, the last one here, those who disregard, and all this should be so convicting. Disregard for God's word hinders our prayers. Look at Proverbs 28:9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. If you go to page 106 tonight, restore fellowship through prayer. And that's really what you're after when you have these hindrances. You're restoring fellowship. Now, I want to give you this, and we're going to close. And I'm going to give you the next two words, but we're not going to preach on it. But in 1 John 3, it tells us the importance of fellowship. 1 John 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if you back up a verse, and I'm going to turn there, you don't have to, but 1 John 1, 7. Very important. He says this, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Here's the bottom line. Fellowship, real biblical fellowship, is a three-way process. We would say, you know, a good relationship is a two-way street. I want to tell you, with God, it's three-way. It's a three-way process. We would call it a triangular relationship. In order to be right with God, I have to be right with my brother in Christ. If I'm not right with my brother in Christ, sister, whoever it may be, I can't be right with him. You see the triangular here? Me, this is my friend right here, Mr. Bush, okay? Me, Mr. Bush, by the way, he's going to be my illustration for many years to come now. All right, here we go. We've deemed him now. Mr. Bush, myself, and God, that's triangular. We both have to be right with God. And that is the key to true fellowship. Hang it up if I'm not right with Mr. Bush. I can't. God's going to say, no, fix it. Then you can come to me and join me again. So, fellowship through prayer, very, very important. Page 107, you must have a regular time of prayer. So put the word time and then have a prayer list. Very practical, but also good. Prayer time, prayer list. Also good to tell, encourage those to do that. Thank you for your kind attention to God's Word. Let us pray.